Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. You finally made it to Friday, did you? What are you going to do with the weekend? Well, whatever you want to do, it's your business, it's a free country. I just heard a news story at the top of the hour that two Muslim men were fired from a trucking company because they refused to deliver alcohol. The company was in the business of delivering alcohol. So the Muzzies found a lawyer probably from Brooklyn, who sued the trucking company for violating their religious rights. And guess what happened? The Muzzies won $40,000. The trucking company lost. Unless the lawyers are stopped, you will not have a country. Period, end of story. Which leads us to the next question. There really was no question in the first statement. Tort lawyers have destroyed the United States of America. Barry Obama is a lawyer. He never practiced law. He wasn't smart enough to be a lawyer. He was only smart enough to be pushed in to make sure that the lawyers could ply their evil trade. But the fact of the matter is, the lawyers are killing America. Now, that's not tied to the next question. Yesterday, I touched on the fact. Well, let me go backwards to yesterday on The Savage Nation. By the way, this is not a show coming in on your tooth filling. This is The Savage Nation, heard on approximately 250 stations across America in drive time on the East Coast. And I've been on the air for 21 years. Now, here's the question. Men, young men particularly. Remember yesterday I said to you that you wouldn't be here? Was it not for your mother? I'll bet that's the first time you ever heard that in your life. Many young men are afraid to get married. They're afraid to have children. And I'm speaking specifically about white males. Young white males are afraid to get married. They're terrified of the responsibility of raising children. And I'm going to ask young men out there to tell me why they're afraid to get married. What is it that keeps you from getting married and having a family? You do realize that unless you get married and have a family, A, your family line dies. That's number one. That used to be a thing. People would say, I don't want my family line to die out. It was something that every young man carried around in his heart and his mind since he was a product of, what, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, millions of years of evolution, hundreds of thousands of family years of a family line. And now what, you're going to let your family line die out because of what, internet pornography? That you can go into a bar and meet someone and just have sex? And what do you need a woman for? Is that what you're thinking? Now, I want to do a lifestyle show for the first half hour of the program because it's connected to zero culture in government zero. Why are you afraid to get married? Why are you afraid to have children? What's stopping you? What did it to you? What happened to your brain? You know, this is a break not only with history, not only with human history, but it's a break with everything reasonable. It's a form of cultural suicide for an entire generation of young white males to not get married and have children. It's a form of cultural and personal suicide, ending your family line. At the same time you're doing this, the evilest people in the history of the world are flooding America with immigrants who have no problem with having 6, 10, 18, 12 children, whatever. As many as they can get away with dumping on our shores to take care of, that you take care of, by the way. How is this happening? How is this happening that the West has young men, whether it's in Norway, Denmark, Holland, Sweden, Germany, France, Italy, the United States of America, Australia? What happened to the white race? Dare I say it's racial? Because the white race has the lowest percentage of children of any race on earth. Replacement children. Now, why am I talking about it? Why shouldn't I talk about it? Is it illegal? Is it on some banned list that I can't raise this issue? I want to know what happened to young white men. Why have they stopped getting married? What are they afraid of? Alexander, WABC, you took the bait. You're on The Savage Nation. What prevents you from getting married, Alexander?
Well, if for somebody like me who's kind of been an outlier as a conservative Long Island Jewish guy, The values that I hold that were taught to me by my grandparents, who, by the way, one of them actually lived on Longfellow Ave in the Bronx, those values are really hard to find in a hookup culture and a club culture and a drinking culture and an application where you're supposed to pick up a girl over a phone.
Alexander, are you a religious Jewish person?
I was raised conservative Jew, which is almost like reform nowadays, but I would say that I'm far more religious than most people in my age demographic, but not...
You're in a very gray zone, because the Orthodox Jewish people have arranged marriages, and they get married and have large families, that you know, right?
Yeah, it's 100%.
And the liberal Jewish men generally don't get married, by and large.
They get married, they just don't marry a Jew, and they don't care to carry forth the tradition that has been going on for over 5,000 years, and it doesn't make any sense to me why they lack the pride.
But I'm saying you're in a gray zone. You can't meet a woman because you're not a religious Jew, and you're not a liberal Jew. You're sort of in the gray zone. You're what's called a conservative Jew. And what, there are no women at all in that group?
I wouldn't say there's no women, but it's hard to find somebody that ideologically and morally and ethically and with the same family values.
Maybe I'm going to have to create a dating app on michaelsavage.com to help people get married.
Look, if I could just say, I've been listening to you. I went to college, a liberal college, Boston University. I studied Islam and foreign policy, the whole thing. And then I got out of college and I started listening to you, started reading the history on my own, and, you know, I could have saved myself $150,000, you know? Why don't you start?
Yeah, you could have saved a lot of money if you had gone directly to the University of Savage. But no, okay, you got your degree. Do you have a job?
I do, luckily. I have...
Wait a minute. No, I'm being very serious. I asked a loaded question. Young men, why are you afraid to get married? And it goes back to yesterday's show. Did you hear yesterday's program where I said I've gone through some very dark phases in my life? And were it not for my family, I probably wouldn't have been able to go through those phases. But I was very lucky to have a strong family to fall back upon. And as I said to someone in my family, was it not for your mother, you wouldn't be here. Which is quite a remarkable idea for most young men who don't understand that. Young men who say, I don't want to get married, I don't need to get married, I have loads of girlfriends, what do I need it for? And I look at them and I say, well, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. It's quite a revelation, isn't it?
It's so prescient that you're almost inside my mind here. And
all right, well, look, I'm glad you took the hook for today's show, because I want to do this a little bit. I'm not going to do it for 3 hours, but I really want to know why. And I'm going to send you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Zero.
No, I'm sorry. Zero. No, you didn't get the name right. Sorry, Alexander, you don't get the book. See, I'm not that nice a guy. I have good news for those of you out there who love my show and love the book. Government Zero is this week's featured conservative book club editor's pick. Did you know that? Government Zero was also the featured article in Monday's Editor's Pick newsletter for the Conservative Book Club, and the 1026 newsletter went out to over 158,000 Conservative Book Club opt-in list members. So the book is getting an awful lot of play, and I want to thank many of you for all of you who've gone out and supported the show and the message. But I want to go back to the main issue. I think it's a good issue. I think it's an important issue, and it's a simple one that I raised yesterday. One particular race on the planet is not reproducing sufficient numbers of their own to survive much longer. If you look at replacement rates, I think the number is you need, I think it was 3 children per family, or is it? You need 3 children per family to reproduce your race. I know you can't mention this, but I guess I will because I have no other way to put it. So if you have 2.1 children, which is the average in some countries where Europeans reside. In Sweden, it's 1.1 per couple. In Italy, I think it's less than zero. Apparently, Italian men like themselves so much, they don't want to give themselves away to women. I think their rate is about 0.1 children per couple. So few people in Italy are getting married, it's hardly noticeable. And this is a reality. Now, and this is an important issue for a couple of reasons. It's because of this demographic time bomb. And it's an inverted demographic time bomb amongst white people. It's because of this demographic time bomb that those who are running the country are bringing in tens of millions of illegal aliens who have very large families, because they need to keep the factories running. They need to have the sheets changed in the hotels, etc. You can fill in the blank, can't you? So it's a good question. It's a good starter. Why are you not getting married? What are you afraid of? 855-400-728. You think it was ever easy to get married and have children? Even in my time, I didn't, you know, I was a young teacher. People said, you know, well, we can't afford children. Or the world's coming to an end. It's so horrible. You know, the days of the late 60s, early 70s. Oh, the world's coming to an end. There's acid rain. There's this, there's that. Everyone had an excuse for not having a child. Life went on in the Middle Ages during the Black Plague. People had children. People in the Holocaust and the concentration camps had babies and hid them from the Nazis. Did you know that? I don't think you even know that. This is a nation that has a culture of death as its primary motif. We may as well have the death head on our flag. You may as well take a skull and crossbones and put it on the American flag. And I'm not blaming Obama for this. Don't get me wrong. This is not Democrat or Republican. This is quite something else. And I want you to talk about it. So maybe young men will find out that they're not alone in their viewpoint. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. I got some great callers here. I don't know why you don't, no one's ever heard of this topic. But here's one, KBOIL, a woman on the answer of why men are afraid to get married. Why?
Hi, Michael. Well, the bottom line is that there are more men behaviorally with vaginas and more women with penises. The single mother culture has created men who have not.
That's quite graphic, but what you're saying, the men have become feminized, basically?
Basically, yeah, and our present administration encourages it. They want us to have single mother families where there's no fathers teaching manhood. When a man doesn't thrive in bringing responsibility to the family, actually, scientifically speaking, Dr. Pat Allen talks about this every Friday night on her radio show. The testosterone is misused, and they are literally a cancer-breeding body because their testosterone is being misused. They're afraid of responsibility, but that is actually...
Wait. Now you're mixing up apples with oranges. I'm just making it very simple to men. Why, men, are you afraid to get married? Now, you're saying something a little different. I think your main point, though, is that an entire generation of males, especially white males, have been feminized. Would you say that's a fair summary of what you said?
Yes, they're afraid of...
Okay, for that reason, you get a copy of it. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Government Zero.
You got it. Stay in the line, Al. Now, that opens the show to Rock and Roll Friday. We'll be back with more music, more conversation than you can possibly get for the rest of your life right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Music of today. I took that bee and I threw her on her back. I broke her neck and I threw her in the neck. I threw her in the back and I broke her back. I treated her like garbage and she won't come back. What a difference. No cultural reasons for why men don't get married, huh? When you treat women like garbage, when your songs are about women are garbage, when you have men that glorify the abuse of women through their songs and their poetry, if you want to call that gutter garbage poetry, you think it's happening by accident? And then you've got another reason. Women who will lie and call 911 to have men arrested, to have control over their husbands, saying, oh, he committed domestic abuse. Some of it may be true, but women know that all they got to do is call 911, they can destroy a man. Thank your lawyers for that. Thank everyone with a shingle hanging outside their office or inside their office. Everyone who has a law degree knows what I'm talking about. Number of reasons. And then what about the women's movement? Has that helped men trust women? Battle axes like that? Take a look at them. They hate men, most of them. It's not a women's movement. It's a man-hating movement. It's not about supporting women. It's about attacking and hating men. And then what about pornography? Pornography is a neurotoxin. Who's pushing the pornography down your throat? Who created the pornography revolution in America? Is it liberation to have pornography available in every home, on every computer, on every iPhone? Or is it a form of imprisonment? And what does your government have to do with the pornographing of America, where it's everywhere? This filth is in everyone's home. Children have pornography on their iPhones. Who is letting this happen? Who is behind this dark secret? Who is behind this hidden side of pornography? Who is doing this? So is it internet pornography? Is it about the lawyers who have let women come up with fake complaints? What is it about? Why is the white male the one with the least number of replacement children of all races? Why? What's going on? How is it happening? There are races that have no problem with getting married and having many children. Obama's bringing them as fast as he can. That's just a fact. And the greatest defense of truth, by the way, the greatest defense against any kind of slander against me is the truth. If what I've said is not true, I wouldn't say it. And by the way, so why are you not getting married? What's the matter with you guys? What's the matter with you guys? What are you afraid of? Young men, why are you afraid to get married? Why are you afraid to have children? I got to tell you something. Everyone knows this. Raising a child is perhaps the hardest job you could ever do. Everyone knows that. Anyone could have a child. There was a poet in North Beach, San Francisco years ago who once, we got into a screaming fight in a bar, and he said, I have a child. I said, you raised a child like a dog. All you did was fornicate and run away from the wife. You don't have a child. You're nothing more than a mutt in the street. Well, it led to an altercation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
If all the songs were romantic and idealized romance at that, where the woman was something different than a man, not just physically, but a special being, sort of the angel, earth angel. Woman was put up on a pedestal. Men revered women. Men were taught to revere and respect women. And then all of a sudden, along came Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and the feminist movement, and all of that changed. And in the 60s, the so-called Cultural Revolution turned woman into a sex object, simply to be used and abused. And then it reversed itself, and the lawyers made the man somebody to be used and abused. Now, if you look at the commercials that you've seen in your lifetime, can anyone listening to this show tell me that the mentally ill idiots who run the advertising industry do not debase white males in particular in every commercial that you see? Every commercial is an idiot white male who blew up the toaster, or set the house on fire, or ran a lawnmower into a garage, or ran his own foot over. Now, why would the psychopaths on Madison Avenue and the other denizens of insanity do this to a particular race? The answer is they're cowards, and they can't do it to any other race. They can't show black males in that light. They can't show Hispanic males in that light. They can't show the idiocy of throwbacks being brought into the country who want to put women in chains. No, so they pick on the white males because the white male is the most tolerant, decent male on the planet. And you ask yourself, how is it that the nation called America was the most productive nation on earth, the most tolerant nation on earth until very recently? And ask yourself what this nation will be like in 10 or 20 years with the influx of third worlders who do not share these values, especially these values of tolerance towards women. Ask yourself what this country will be like. The answer is it won't be like. It'll be nothing. It will look like Iraq. That's what it'll look like, or maybe worse. And so I'm not saying that you could do anything about it. All I'm going to say is you can do something about it in your own life. This is not a call to revolution. I'm not asking you to march on Washington with a pitchfork in your hand. That's not going to change a darn thing. The only thing you can change is your own life. That's all I'm saying to you. There's another thing you have to know about all of this. Many, many years ago, when I consulted with religious people, I asked them how their arranged marriages work out. I asked them many times, how could you marry someone that you don't even love? And wise older men said, well, You learn to live the person. You learn to love the person you're living with. See, it's the reversal of the United States of America. Guys want to walk into a bar and meet someone they think is meant for them for life. Well, how does that normally work out? So you can do it the other way, which is have someone picked for you in an arranged marriage, for example, if you're in a very religious community, and you learn to love each other by living with each other, by learning to respect each other. That's what he said to me. But I want to get back to talk radio, because this is just talk radio. We have no power, no influence. In the middle of the night last night at 3 in the morning, that sour, horrible-looking man with the gullet hanging down from his neck, the number one leading Democrat in Congress, Mitch McConnell, stabbed America in the back and ran a budget deal by everyone at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is something that is done in, used to be done in banana republics. They wouldn't even try it in Ecuador today. What's going on in the United States under this most corrupt president in American history? He has so corrupted everybody that even the Republican Party has become more corrupted than it already was. He has done something to this country that you can't even touch. The man is a living virus. 4 o'clock in the morning, they pass a budget. And they give this shyster an $80 billion budget so he can spend it around on illegal voters. Pay off fakers in San Francisco with fake solar plants in the middle of the Nevada desert. Look into those grants and contracts. See who got billions of dollars in money from your pocket. And see who's connected to senators and congressmen with fake solar plants. But that's a little side note. We can't change the corruption. It's so endemic right now that it's hard to know how to stop it short of a pure revolution, which is something I am not calling for. We've tried the ballot box. Did it work? Did the ballot box work when we voted? No, it got worse. Because we had John Boehner, the crybaby, and Mitch McConnell, the corrupt. So what's next? Tell me what's next. Well, we have one election left. I'm just launching into a political diatribe right now. And you know what I think. Unless we have a nationalist candidate, we're finished as a nation. The nation will disappear in your lifetime. Unless we have a candidate who espouses our borders, putting a wall on the border, reasserts English as the official language of the nation, that's the glue that holds a nation together, its language. Can you imagine a French politician saying that they should have ballots in 10 languages to permit people who don't even speak French to vote in their elections? They would be hung. San Francisco has had elections in many languages for many years. That's how you have the vermin that run this city. That's how you have the corrupt vermin in power. Who do you think elected them? You think it's the taxpayers? So what I'm saying to you is borders, language, culture, it applies to every country on the earth. But I want to stick to the issue of demographics, demographics, demographics. The white man is being bred out of existence, primarily because he won't get married, primarily because he's afraid of women, primarily because he's been infantilized and he's terrified to be a father. And so if you want to comment on any of this, go ahead. Make my day. Let's take some callers. WABC Rose. Why won't men get married?
Why won't men get married? The tradition of marriage has already been broken down thanks to this administration. Who would want...
Hold it. Let's not be silly. Obama didn't start the ball rolling. I mean, let's be clear.
Before him, granted. It came before him. He's in there to fulfill whatever has not already been done.
But why don't men get married? Let's forget Obama for a minute. The all-powerful Obama. Forget him for 2 seconds. Forget him for 2 seconds. Why won't men get a woman and get married today?
Okay. What about pornography? You mentioned that. Why would they want to get married when they can already have what they feel is necessary to fulfill their own... You know, it's pornography. Pornography. They can look at the phone and already get it.
So let me ask you something. Should pornography be banned?
Absolutely.
Now, that's an interesting question. How many people would vote for the outright, absolute illegality of pornography as it was in my generation? Raise your hands if you think pornography, as much as you may enjoy it, and many of you do, because I read the data, would you vote to eliminate this filth from our blogosphere, get rid of it? Would you vote to get rid of it? Yes or no? Of course you would. Of course you would. Most sane societies don't permit pornography. But what's the real reason men don't get married? I don't think it's pornography. I think that's one of the releases that men use. I don't think it's the reason they don't find the woman. There's a lot more to getting married than just having a sexual release, isn't there? I mean, a man says, okay, that's the reason to get married? That's not the only reason a man gets married, or is it? I don't know. What do you think? Mark, are you there? Line 7? Gone with the wind. Line 8, WMAL in Washington, where the show is king. Damien, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, doctor. Well, number one, I definitely don't think that pornography is the reason. I agree with you there. It may attribute to it, but that is not the reason.
Right.
Me, personally, as a 26-year-old male, I just think the economy is really bad, and I have a lot of friends, too, who would love to settle down with a girl and get married and think about having kids and stuff, but as far as me and my friends go, we want to internalize a lot of the costs of raising kids. I want to send my kid, for instance, to a private school. I don't want to deal with the crap that kids are learning now in public schools. You know, I want to have more control and internalize all those costs. I think if the economy...
That's a real factor, which is the affordability factor. But if you let that be the... If you let the affordability issue become the primary issue, you'll never get married. It was always expensive to have children, Damien. It's always been costly and very expensive. When I was young, we had no paid child care. We had no private schools to send our children to. And you have to understand that that's the price you're going to pay. That's called living. It's life 101. And there's another thing. Look, men are afraid of divorce. They marry someone they meet somewhere, and 2 years later she has a child, and then she gets a shyster lawyer from NYU, and he loses half of everything he owns if he doesn't wind up in jail, and he's paying it off for the next 20 years. That could be one of the reasons men don't get married, is because of the lawyers. Don't you think that's a reason, Damien?
I do think so. And I'll tell you also, Michael, my grandfather, God bless his heart, he was in World War II. He was an underwater demolition team man. And I once heard, it may have been from you actually, that we had an entire generation of men that were literally just thrust into manhood. You know, you didn't have a choice about, oh, I think I'm going to go study liberal arts and, you know, do this and that for a while. You know, you kind of just were forced to grow up and be a man. And I think as a result, that generation, having been so hard and tough, took it a little...
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that. A lot of the men were very soft before they went into war, if you want to go back to World War II. They weren't all gung-ho soldiers. Most guys didn't want to fight. They wanted nothing to do with war. But as Patton said, don't be afraid. When you see your friend's guts hanging out, you'll know what to do. People learn to fight when they have to fight. Not everyone wants to go there and have their head blown off or kill someone or knife someone's guts out. So I wouldn't glorify the generation and say they were all such tough guys. What I'm trying to say is something a little different. The mores of the time were different. Women were put on a pedestal. Women were held up as something different and beautiful. Don't you remember there was a phrase, your better side, your softer side? Let's talk about that, the hardening of women. Let's go into an area that most people are afraid to tread upon, which is the issue of what has happened to women, where they become as hard, if not harder, than men, and men are afraid to be around them. Is that not an issue as well?
Absolutely. That's absolutely an issue. The way that women have changed, absolutely, that's a big issue. And I think that's why it's...
Oh, you take a look at the average gym. The women look like ninja warriors. Our men are afraid of them. Okay, so I'm going to send you Government Zero. I got another caller waiting on the line I got to get to. We'll do this topic for a little bit more, then we'll do all the news of the day. Maybe you're bored of it. I'm not. I think it's good. Line number 10. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's your point?
Dr. Savage, I agree with everything you've said so far. I mean, especially the fact with that last caller that women have definitely changed and gotten, you know, it's like they're empowered and feel that, you know, just because that they, you know, have some sort of control physically, you know, when men try to make the initiative or a move towards them, they, you know, feel like they have to, I don't know the exact words for it, but they just have to be empowered over men in most situations. And, you know, when it comes down to...
Wait, let me take each statement as you said. So you say women have been taught that they should be in control of men, even in a dating situation, they have to call the shots. But hasn't that always been the case Ryan, where women always determine whether or not there would be, for example, any lovemaking. It's always been up to the woman, unless the man was a psycho rapist.
Yeah, of course, that's true. But, you know, at the same time, even if you take, you know, the lovemaking aspect away from it, like even in situations where, say, out in public, you go and approach a woman, you know, in an innocent and harmless fashion, just to, you know, maybe start a conversation just because you may be interested in her, you know, physical attraction or whatever it is, you know, sometimes you get looked at like you're some sort of monster just for even approaching them. And that may be part of, you know, social media taking over where no one can talk face-to-face anymore and everyone is just, you know, it's their...
Is that something new? Do women generally look at men like they're monsters for saying hello?
I've definitely been thrown under the butt that kind of category a few times just from approaching someone and saying, you know, hi, how are you? Can I buy you a drink? And it's like, you know, they put a cross in my face almost.
God. All right, you get a free copy of Government Zero. That brings us to break time on the Savage Nation. And the topic for this hour has been young men, why are you afraid to get married? And I'll probably shift to something else in the next hour, so jump in while you can. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Potion number 9. We have that. That's called Levitra. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And the question is, young men, why are you afraid to get married? And we've brought up a lot of issues. The denigration of the white race in advertising, the denigration of the white male in movies. Men are white men in particular are being given an inferiority complex by the vermin in the media, the vermin in Hollywood. It's hard to believe how systemic this has become. Here, someone wrote me this. Steve says, typical ads today will show some dumbbell white being schooled by the withered black fellow who knows how to invest. He knows how to make smart purchase decisions. He knows how to rescue the dingbat white fellow from his stupidity. The black man always knows technology to the ninth degree. While in the ads, whites are shown genuflecting in their underwear in front of Michael Jordan, who looked down upon them with bemused, put-upon expressions. Now, I wouldn't read this to you if it wasn't true. Let someone prove that this email is false. I watch television. I'm in the media. I see what's going on. The same people who gave you the CNBC disgrace the other night. The same mentality runs the ad agencies. I can go down the list. I'll be on the clicker here. So what are the birth rates by race and ethnicity? It seems that there are races who are not intimidated by women. Seems that there are races who are not intimidated by the cost of raising children. Oh, yeah, I'll take a look at it. You look at the birth rates by race, and you'll see quite a story. We keep hearing that soon whites will be outnumbered in California by Hispanics. Why is that? Tell me why that is. Well, it has something to do with something, doesn't it? It's not just massive immigration. It's about reproduction. It's about the reproductive rate amongst different races, isn't it? So why is that Hispanic men are not afraid to get married and have children? Could you explain that to me? I'd like to hear from a Hispanic guy. Why is he not afraid to get married and have children? What is he not afraid of? Why is it I go to a Kentucky Fried Chicken, I see a Spanish guy with his wife and daughters there on a Sunday?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. I've
got to know. Break that record. There is no Book of Love. The Book of Love was burned a long time ago. We have something else right now. And the topic is a pretty good one. I'll continue it for another 15 minutes or so, which is, young men, why are you afraid to get married? What's the answer? Now, there is an article on my website, michaelsavage.com. It's a news article. And the headline says, Strategic Engineered Migration as a Weapon of War. Strategic Engineered Migration as a Weapon of War. Now, you pretty much know what I'm talking about. It comes from the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs out of the John F. Kennedy School of Government, which is a liberal government, a liberal organization. Even they recognize that the refugees, so-called, that are invading Europe are a weapon of war. A new and different armament using refugees as weapons has entered the world's arsenals. Many of you are absolutely ignorant to what this actually means. Europe is being overrun by Muslims, mainly young men of military age, and the weakling coward liberals running Europe are bending over backwards to accommodate them. It's gotten so bad that in Sweden, a lesbian priest, which is a joke to begin with, a lesbian priest has ordered that the cross and all crosses be removed from the church and that the pews be removed so that the church can be turned into a mosque for the Muslims who have been brought into her town. If this is not cultural suicide, I'd like to know what is. And that goes to the next question, which is the first question, which is, young men, why are you afraid of women? Why are you afraid to become a father? Why are you afraid to get married? This doesn't apply to all races and all religions, by the way. Many of these refugees come here, they have 10, 12 children. Oh, yeah. Or there are people coming in from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. They have very large families. They're not rich. How come they're not afraid to have children? So what is it? What is it about the European-American male, in particular the young ones, that intimidate them from getting married? It's an interesting question to me. And we've come up with some answers. And I think it's a valid question. And I'd like to continue the conversation. And let's go to the callers. BAP Dallas. Ray, answer. What's the reason, if I could see the line, I got to put my glasses on, honestly. You know, it's a funny thing. On Facebook, I type in all caps. So people got offended. You know, they still have the misnomer that if you type in all caps, you're screaming. I have this with my personal and business emails. So on the bottom of my emails, I used to have an attachment that says, pardon my caps, but vision is king. It's hard for me to see when I'm typing in small font. So I type in all caps because it's like a telegram that I'm sending to someone. But unfortunately, people are so brainwashed and so conditioned that they think if you send them an email in all caps, you're yelling at them. That's how idiotic they are. So I have to attach that to my email. So I put it on my Facebook page. People said, nah, Mike, don't worry about it. You speak in all caps, so don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you say. You're way beyond worrying about what size your font is. How big is your font? What was I talking about here? Okay, BAP, line six, Ray. What's the reason men are not having children?
Well, for me, it's not children, it's marriage. I come from a divorced family, and a lot of my friends do. And it just doesn't seem worth it, and it's kind of like, what's the point? The man gets screwed out of it, and not only do we not know what a loving marriage looks like, we've never experienced for ourselves. And then with the culture today, it's much easier to just have a string of girlfriend along for years and be promiscuous than to settle down. And if she gets pregnant, you can still have kids. Just avoid the whole marriage legal debacle and everything related to that.
So, you said if she gets pregnant, you could just have the kid. Who's going to raise the child, though?
There's plenty of, you know, single moms with supportive dads. Like, example, a couple of my friends, they have kids, but they're not married. And it's almost like the mom's the girlfriend, not the wife.
So, but I hear a certain sadness in your voice, by the way.
Yeah, because it's there.
Yeah, I'm saying you're a sad guy. Why? Because of the broken home you came from?
It's not only that, but it's just kind of the dating situation I've grown up with. Like, I was Roman Catholic all my life, and, like, now it's hard to even find a woman that believes in God.
And that makes you sad?
Yeah, because I wanted to raise my kids in, you know, a good Catholic family, bunch of kids.
Why can't you meet a Catholic girl in a church? I don't understand it.
It's
what are they? Like, what are you saying? They're all dorks? Is that what? I mean, come on. Don't you know? I mean, be realistic. If you're a Catholic guy and you're sad that you're not married, and you're intimidated by what happened with your parents, but you want a family, Wouldn't it be logical to go to a church for young, a meeting for young people in your church?
They're not there.
Okay, so the Catholic girls are not there. Where are they?
They're not Catholic anymore, and they're at the clubs, and they sleep in past church hours.
Oh, rim shot for you. Okay, I have no answer for you then. You know, I'm sitting here in San Francisco wondering why a guy in Dallas who's kind of really Christian can't meet a Christian woman. I can't imagine that there's no such place for you to meet. But I'll send you a copy of a book to cheer you up. It's entitled what? If you name it, you gain it. What's the book called?
Government Zero.
See that? You came armed and ready. By the way, folks, I want to put out an appeal. This weekend is a very big weekend for me. And to send a message to Washington via the New York Times bestseller list, if you are planning on buying a copy of Government Zero, but you've been putting it off waiting for a week or two, I'd love you to consider doing it this weekend, because it's like a movie opening where everything is banking on the first weekend, the opening numbers of the weekend. If we can get it up in the top five on the list, and I think we will, it will send a powerful shot across the bow of the government. And someone wrote me and they said they were thinking of buying the Kindle version, but with the family coming for Thanksgiving, they bought a hardcover copy so they could throw it on the coffee table and provoke some conversation. You know, like the relatives who are liberal come over and they see the book Government Zero on the table. One of them might actually ask, what does that mean? It's the Savage Nation. That's what it means. John on KKOH, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Savage, I just called in to talk to you about that. It also may be because of the way, sexual education is taught in the classroom at a young age. They teach everybody to believe that sex is bad. You'll get diseases. And then they list all the costs and everything of having a child and things like that. Although, I mean, granted, I don't think that's a big impact, but I do think that has something to do with it. It makes it for a hard reality.
What do you mean? How does sex education inhibit a man from getting married?
But see, I agree. I agree 100% with you. The thing is, that's my other point I was going to bring up. Nowadays, if you go out there and, like one of your earlier callers said, you go up and you try to go talk to a girl or meet a woman or something like that, and you just go up and say, hey, can I buy you a drink or whatever? And like he said, they push you off. They literally teach these
but
women.
But guys, hold on. Stop being so faint-hearted. Do you think it was ever any different? What is it supposed to say? Sure, young man. Sure, you're a great-looking guy. Yes, buy me a drink. Why shouldn't she push you off? Well, how does she know who you are? How does she know who you are? She could be afraid you'll wind up chaining her to a wall somewhere in a basement. How does she know who you are? You see, what's wrong here is that men think that in the past women just greeted men who came up to them. Oh, sure. You're a great guy. Let's go out. Yeah, sure. No one ever did that. It's never been any different. I think you've just been intimidated, and you take rejection too easily. You better learn how to be a better salesman, my friend. You know, I remember when I was a young guy and I was in sales for a brief period. I went to a sales seminar on how to sell. And the people who were teaching the course said, the sale begins when the customer says no. I never forgot that. I was 18, 19 years old, and I never heard that. The sale begins when the customer says no, because your natural instinct is when someone says no to you, is say, okay, and walk away. Well, my friends, it's the same whether you're looking for a date or selling somebody a vacuum cleaner. The sale begins when the customer says no. So you better have some good comeback lines. That's all I can say to you. All right, you're getting a copy of Government Zero. We're running down on this hour here into this point of no return on the Savage Nation. You want to go on with this? Yes. WFTL Rudy, you have an interesting point. Go ahead, make it, please.
Yes, hi. First and foremost, thank you for having me on the show. I've been listening to you for 10 years. I'm 36 years old, and God bless you, Dr. Savage. The point that I wanted to make is the reason why a lot of males are not having marriages or being turned off, you have to look at a few points. Number one, liberalism, as you put it, it's a mental dysfunction or a mental disorder. It has been so penetrated to the youth, to the young girls, it's hard.
Wait, hold on. Are you suggesting that if you have conservative views, women reject you?
Well, that's one. Actually, I've had them reject me. I've seen...
That's 100% true by what I hear. Most men are not allowed to express love of country in order to meet a woman. If they do, they're pushed aside as some monster. Unless they espouse some feminist, New World Order, Gaia embracing, global warming, nonsense, the woman thinks that he's an idiot.
Plus, you have the laws in this country that have basically put men under a bus. As you put it, you know, they can just call the cops, they can scratch themselves, call the cops and falsely accuse a man of falsely attacking them and so forth. Plus, also, the third point is you also see the divorce rates. They're so high in this country, it's gotten so out of hand, that a lot of guys really get turned off to it and they get scared. You also have to throw in also the fact income opportunities are very, very bad. I myself, I have an associate's degree in business. I have a lot of extensive experience in working and career-wise. And, you know, I'm not going to be one of these jerks who just have a kid just to have a kid. If I'm going to have a child, I'm going to have a family. I have the moral conscience that I have to grow as an individual financially to be able to support my family, support my children.
Rudy, those are all good values, but how old are you?
I'm 36, sir. I've been living in these since I was 24.
Well, you know, you're getting on in years. You're getting long in tooth, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, it's an interesting change of perception. I mean, everyone I knew was told from the time they were, I'm way older than you, obviously. In my generation, it was pretty accepted that you had to get married. And if you didn't, there was something, quote, wrong with you. It was like a social pressure. The parents, the uncles, the aunts, the neighbors, hey, what's with him? He's not, are you dating anyone? They always thought that, you know what I'm saying. So now it's become the opposite. And there is no social pressure on young men to get married. And people say, have a good time. Don't make the mistake I had. You have an uncle who ever said that to you?
Actually, you know what? Like I said, I come from a Cuban-American background and Cuban family where the wives have been married to their husbands for so long. Very traditional, very conservative.
So you're a traditional Cuban-American. Don't they put social pressure on you to get married and have kids?
Yes, absolutely. Since I was like far back as I can remember, since I was a teen.
So what do they think is, quote, wrong with you that you have not gotten married?
Well, not that they call it wrong. I mean, for example, my folks are, you know, they get concerned. They're like, you know, always constantly asking me, well, when are you going to have a grandchild? When are you going to give me a grandchild? When are you going to give me a grandchild?
You mean they dare even say that to you? They're pretty brave.
No, they do. They do. They always say, you know, when are we going to have? I can't wait to see you have a give me a son, a grandson, or a grandchild, a grandchild.
Well, that's what used to be said in my time. That's the truth. But even in my generation, we don't dare say that to our children. We feel that we're pressuring them, we're embarrassing them, and so we don't push that. We don't push that on them anymore. Hey, my friend. Hasta la Vega. I mean, I can't remember anymore. 7 years of Spanish. My mind is not working this Friday of the book week. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. Stay in the line back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Is the Savage Nation. Looking at the real estate column in the New York Post, it says, inside Chelsea Clinton's new $15 million penthouse with a private pool. You got to hand it to the Clintons. They set out to do good, and they did very well indeed. You think about that. $15 million penthouse for the girl. She was on the news in the news business for a while. They paid her like $600,000. She was fabulous. She was so good, she lasted a month. Nick on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'm a savage. How are you?
Nick, what's your point today, please?
All right, well, pretty much, I agree with Ray. You know, there's not many young Catholic ladies in the Catholic Church today, unfortunately. And
You're looking for Catholic girl?
Yeah, and then pretty much, I go to a smaller Catholic church, and there's only a...
But where do they go from Catholic school with the check skirts? What's the next stop on that train?
Hello?
Yeah, what's the next stop on the train from Catholic school? Where are all the Catholic girls you're all moaning about are gone?
They're just dropping off because...
Yeah, but where do they go? What do you mean dropping off? Where are they going?
Mr. Savage, I have no idea.
Let's start from the top. The topic is young men, why you're not getting married. Now you're saying you're another Catholic guy saying you can't meet a young Catholic girl?
Yeah.
Did you go to Catholic school?
Yeah, there's just not a lot of kids sticking with the church.
Where do they go after school? I mean, they go on somewhere. What do they become? I don't understand. What, are they converting to another religion?
They go to liberal schools. Not going to Notre Dame, stuff like that. Not going to good Catholic schools.
And so they're dropping out of the Catholic dating pool?
Yeah, I think it's just because they can't. It's too tough for them to hold tight to the standards of, you know,
of the religion. Okay, so you're implying something else now. You're talking about moral slippage, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's another story. So you're going to be a bachelor now your whole life, Nick?
Well, my mom has chases off all the other women too. You know, my mom's a crazy Italian lady, and
Wait a minute, this is too good to believe. So now it's your mother's fault that you can't meet a girl. All right, government zero. Maybe it'll help you meet a conservative Catholic girl.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I do not foresee a scenario in which boots on the ground in Syria, American boots on the ground in Syria, would not only be good for America, but also would be good for Syria.
Not be an open-ended intervention? We would not put boots on the ground. Instead, our action would be designed to be limited in duration and scope.
With respect to boots on the ground, profoundly, no. There will be no boots on the ground. The president has said that again and again, and there is nothing in this authorization that should contemplate it. We reiterate, no boots on the ground.
I think America recognizes that as difficult as it is to take any military action, even one as limited as we're talking about, even one without boots on the ground, that's a sober decision.
What we're not talking about is an open-ended intervention. Mm-hmm. This would not be another Iraq or Afghanistan. There would be no American boots on the ground.
No.
Any action we take would be limited, both in time and scope.
To be clear, as we've said repeatedly, our strategy does not involve U.S. troops on the ground in either Iraq or Syria.
But what I'm going to try to propose is that we have a very specific objective, a very narrow military option, and one that will not lead into some large-scale invasion of Syria or involvement or boots in the ground, nothing like that.
I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria. I will not pursue an open-ended action like Iraq or Afghanistan.
No, he's better.
I will not pursue a prolonged air campaign like Libya.
Oh, no. Been going on a year now. So that montage of the liars, I'm surprised Susan Rice's dress isn't on fire from her lies. The Obama administration promises there'll be no boots on the ground in Syria, thanks to Grabian for the montage. But of course, he just put boots on the ground in Syria. And what did he put? How many? What's the number, Robert? How many special forces did the great leader of our military put on the ground in Syria? 20? 40? Is he crazy? He's putting 40 special forces into Syria against an army in ISIS. What's he do, sending them to get captured and turn them into a trophy, hostage trophies? Is he crazy? This is a commander-in-chief? Okay, I didn't want to do this, but I had to do it. Yes, there's a chapter in Government Zero entitled Zero Military. Yes, it's about the doofus in the White House. Yes, it's about the fact that he's the worst commander-in-chief in the history of the United States military. And now he's putting men not only in harm's way, but in a way putting them there almost as hostages in advance. He may as well have them parachute behind enemy lines without any weapons and turn themselves over to ISIS. What are you doing sending what? How many men? What's the number, Robert? I've asked three times. You have two. Thank you. Thanks for the answer. Less than 50 special forces sent to fight an army. Does anyone think that makes sense? American commandos to Syria. Not a brigade. Not even a platoon. The lunatics are sending less than 50 men into Syria to advise rebels that Washington deems moderate. Does anyone know of any moderate rebels? Anyone ever seen a moderate rebel? Well, anyway, you get the picture. Fewer than 50 special ops advisors who will work with resistance forces battling ISIS in northern Syria. But we're told they'll not engage in direct combat. Instead, they're going to be giving macrame lessons to the rebels. I'm surprised Obama's letting them go there with loaded guns. They're going to teach macrame and cooking classes to the rebels. So they'll have a job when it's all over. This is crazy. But you're used to this by now. You're used to that small special ops force to Syria after saying they won't, you know, send in the military or don't send in the military. Bomb them into the Stone Age or get the hell out of there. What are you doing? What are you gibbering around there, Obama? It took Russia going in there and killing some of them for you to finally do something. You're there for a year doing nothing, shooting bombs into the desert. Now, I don't know what's happened with the Russian incursion. I haven't seen much about it. It's certainly not being reported by the vermin in the media. How much more do you need to know than what CNBC did the other night? How come we're not seeing any news footage of the Russians killing ISIS members with their airplanes? Why are we not seeing it? Because it'll make you understand what you have in the White House. You'll get a picture, finally, of what's going on there in the White House. The thin man. Remember I said 100 times? Teddy Roosevelt had a saying, walk softly and carry a big stick. Well, the libs have given us a commander-in-chief that's reversed that. Talk loudly and carry a limp stick. The only one he uses his stick against are the American people and the non-existent Republican Party. But when it comes to ISIS, he's got a broken stick. What's he done against them? Nothing. So what are we doing over there? I'm sorry for going into politics, but I couldn't resist, given that it's a big news story. After years of lying to us, there'd be no boots on the ground, 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 no boots on the ground. 50 special forces are being sent in, you hear this, against the military, that's cutting people's heads off, blowing up, kidnapping, selling people on the auction block. This is the best they can do? Okay, let's talk about something else. The White House also plans to send A-10 ground attack planes. Really, I thought they were trying to get rid of the A-10. About a year ago, Obama wanted to eliminate the A-10 and F-15 fighter jets to encirclic in Turkey. The F-15 he's sending over there, why the F-15? The heavily armored A-10s, which fly low and slow over the battlefield, the troops have been demanding the A-10 for years. Doofus wanted to eliminate them, make sure they didn't fly at all. The new deployment of ground troops and planes drew a mixed reaction from Democrats who worried about the deepening American involvement in the war. Ooh, we can't go to war. Just bring in more Muslims, be more tolerant of them, and they'll come to see our way of life as superior. And they'll become good Americans. Just bring more of them in. And Republicans who said that the small U.S. force was insufficient and disconnected from a broader coherent strategy. All right. Let's see what John the Lunatic McCain, the warmonger, said. McCain said the latest moves, yet another insufficient step in the Obama administration's policy of gradual escalation. Who's writing this script for him? You know, this would be a funny thing if it was a cartoon story, but it isn't. We have the most vicious army in the history of the world since Hitler raging across the Middle East. And we have the weakest American commander-in-chief in history at the same time. And that's why Russia's hand was finally forced. Forced, not forced. I'm not really from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx. I meant forced, not forced. What would you do about it? The answer is simple. Either get out or destroy them. Now let's go back to the topic we were talking about, which is young men, why don't you get married? But no, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. I want to shake it up a bit. I am the only member of the talk radio sphere that has ever been blessed with a full profile in the New Yorker magazine. And they did this admittedly in 2009, but there's a reason I'm going to play it for you, as you're going to see in a minute. The writer of that interview at the New Yorker, Kalefa Sena, was formerly a music critic for the New York Times for 7 years. You say, wow, liberal, huh? Yeah, but he actually listened to Michael Savage and heard the art, the music, the poetry, the song in my show. He was not just, let's just say that's what he heard. So he interviewed me over a long period of time. It was very interesting. And I'd like to play a little bit of the Savage Party of One podcast from the New Yorker magazine, since I am the only talk radio host in the United States of America who has ever been interviewed in this manner. You know what a big deal it is to me. I'll tell you why. To this day, when people say, you know, tell me something about you, send me something about yourself or whatever, I send the New Yorker article, because when I grew up, the pinnacle of a writer's career, the pinnacle of a musician's career, the pinnacle of an artist's career at that time was to be profiled in the New Yorker and have a caricature done. Now, they did a great caricature of me. I look like a gnome. I actually don't look like that, but I love the caricature. And I have many copies of the cartoon on my walls in various houses. So without any further ado, let's listen to the podcast on how this radio show is different than anyone else's right now on The Savage Nation.
His show, The Savage Nation, reaches more than 8 million listeners each week.
We so-called conservatives are actually the liberals of America. And the so-called liberals are the actual fascists of America.
Savage's disdain for the left is savage. One of his many books is called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. But listeners to his show get a lot more than politics, as Calafasana tells us in his profile this week. Welcome back, Kay.
Thanks.
So the election of Barack Obama has put conservatives back in the opposition, and that has re-energized talk radio. Is that what got you interested in doing this piece? And why did you pick Michael Savage of all the conservative talk show hosts?
That's part of what got me interested in doing this piece. I'd heard him over the years and found myself listening to him a bunch last year during the election. And he was interesting partly because he seemed to be so off-message.
Oh, I know what you're expecting, but you're not going to get it from me. You'll have to go to one of the other talk show hosts to get Obama's a Marxist and McCain is a war hero. If that's what you want from now until November, you're in the wrong dial position.
Savage, despite being identified as a conservative talk show host, didn't really seem to like McCain that much. Mm-hmm. Definitely hated Obama. Didn't really like Bush.
So he was reacting really differently than the other conservative hosts.
Well, you know, most of the other conservative hosts, no matter what the problems they might have had with McCain, mm-hmm. were, they certainly supported him.
Right.
And Savage really didn't. But Savage has always been a really kind of unusual, weird guy. His mm-hmm. radio show isn't like anyone else's radio show.
Right. So he talks a lot less about politics than a lot of other talk show hosts.
Well, he's a lot less single-minded. He has this weird cluster of interests. He's mm-hmm. interested in herbal medicine. Mm-hmm. He's interested in animals. He loves food. He loves to tell stories about, you know, New York in the 50s and 60s. And he loves to talk about his life in a really unusual way. He has this kind of melancholy, depressive streak. And,
mm-hmm.
and so the takeaway isn't necessarily, you know, we're going to rally the troops and we're going to get this done politically. The takeaway is often, I'm probably going to go home and drink tonight. And that makes him a really interesting, really compelling character on the room.
When the New Yorker comes up on a show like Savage's or Rush's, it's generally not in glowing terms. No. Michael Savage, he's, my guess, not a longtime subscriber to the magazine.
Well, he is a longtime reader.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He grew up in New York, and he has said he did grow up reading.
How hard was it to get him to talk to you, and how did you go about that?
Well, Basically, I sent a bunch of emails to his people and finally got an email back from him. He writes, all the emails I've ever gotten from him, I think, have been in all caps. And he was kind of like, what do you want? And so I kind of explained to him that I wanted to write a story about him, that I listened to his show, that I enjoyed his show. I think every email I wrote him, he read on the air.
Wow.
And so it was this weird kind of three-way conversation where I'd write him again in response to the discussion that I'd heard on the air. It was pretty strange. I think we have a clip of him describing one of the emails he sent back to me after I had written him asking him to please talk to me.
So I sent him this note and I said, the cartoon that goes with the story, will it show me in the Gestapo or an SA uniform? Surely you don't believe I don't know what you want to try to make of me. Why must everyone in journalism be so obvious? Why must all of you in the extreme media paint everyone you disagree with as demonic?
No, in fact, when I read your piece, I didn't think he came off as demonic at all.
When I actually finally kind of convinced him that, you know, we should sit down and talk and it wasn't going to destroy his career, you know, it was this kind of surreal thing because we had a great time. And,
mm-hmm.
we had some beers and we sat on his porch and mm-hmm. he's a great host mm-hmm. and he was fun to talk to. I'd like to think he enjoyed the conversation. And I think there's something about him that some part of him that thought it was really funny. On the radio the next day after the interview, one of the callers asked how it went, and he described me as looking a little bit like Obama, which coming from him, I think, was a deeply twisted kind of compliment.
He doesn't like Obama. He didn't like McCain. He doesn't like Rush Limbaugh. What would you describe his politics as? How would you boil it down? Hates everything, or?
No. He's a, he calls himself a genuine independent conservative. And, borders, language, and culture is one of his rallying cries. And so he believes strongly that illegal immigration is hurting America in all sorts of ways. Right. He worked in a clinic that served gay men in San Francisco in the early mid 1980s, just as the AIDS epidemic was hitting. And, as he tells it, he called for closing down the bathhouses, which got him sort of exiled from this community that he had sort of been part of.
Well, liberals who called for that, too, were also really attacked.
And so he kind of traces his disillusionment with the gay rights movement to that moment. So he's a very vociferous critic of the gay rights movement.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I hope you enjoyed that flashback to the New Yorker. That wasn't an interview. That was their conversation about the interview. As a radio host, they wrote, Michael Savage is a heretic among heretics, as contemptuous of fellow right-wing stars as he is of liberal politics. So it goes a long way that I've been an independent. And I'm very proud of this article. It's from August 3rd, 2009. You can find it online. The cover says, The Real Michael Savage, Kalefa Sena on a Shock Jock's Unexpected Side. All right, Shock Jock, fine. Kevin, KSFO Radio, welcome to the Savage Nation. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say, Michael, it's unbelievable that they even gave you the airtime to discuss your opinions because, you know, these liberals hate to have any type of facts brought out.
I know that, but that's why I even played it on the air, Kevin, because I was trying to make a point, which is that not all of those who disagree with our politics are so locked in their doxies that they can't see around their own biases.
You're exactly right, but what you did, you opened that door just a little bit, and you're so good at that, and you have such a way of...
Have you ever heard that interview before on my show? Have you ever heard me play that on the show before?
Michael, this is the first time I ever heard it. I just come home from work, and I turn you on 3 out of the 5 days that you're on, and it just gives me such a lift that I...
Did you buy Government Zero yet? Have you gotten to the bookstore?
No, not yet.
You're getting a free one right now. Under the condition that you give it away to a liberal girlfriend this weekend in a bar, someone who fled Catholic school. All right, that's a joke. Come on. Those who've listened to the hour know what I'm talking about. I'll be back next hour for another hour right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, hour number 3, another big hour. Here's great news, just came to me from the publisher, the top person. You ready for this? Michael, we're ordering a third printing of Government Zero. Costco just came in with a brand new reorder. We now have 159,000 in print. Now, this is very good news. And I told you, when I started this promotional campaign for my book, remember I said get the first printing while you can? Because I guarantee you they're going to be sold out. There may be some first printings available in the stores. You can find it, by the way, if you look. But I told you, I generally try to tell you everything I know to be the truth. And you say, well, what's the big deal? First printing, third printing? Well, the book is the same. The difference is that my books tend to become collectibles. Unlike most people who write garbage, that you throw away in a month that has no value. Some of my books are still in print from the 1970s. They cost a fortune. One of my earliest books you can't find for less than $800. I'm not guaranteeing you that this book's going to be worth $800 in 20 years, but it has a value because I write Persian miniatures. That's when Persia was Persia, before it became what it is today. But the Persian miniature, I write because I started as a writer, not as a polemicist. Anyway, great news for the audience out there. We're probably going to make some big news with this book, thanks to you. And it'll probably take off on its own at this point. It's achieved what most authors, you know, dream of, which is a book that creates its own momentum. And that's Government Zero. And if you intend to buy one to put on your coffee table for Thanksgiving, I suggest you grab one this weekend. Anyway, I want to play some rock and roll. I want to do the news. I happen to like, which is the one I asked for? Could This Be Magic by the Doves? Let's see if we can. No, Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings. Let's go really back in time because it's Friday. I love this song. I just love it. 58 Impala. 58 Impala. I mean, the whole thing comes flowing back into your brain, doesn't it? See, if it was Friday and I was that age, I'd be getting ready for a good time tonight. Right now, I'm getting ready to just do nothing. In other words, no, I'm going to have dinner. I'm just joking. I will be having a dinner with some important people. And I'll probably drink too much red wine. This has been Book Week. You know, I called it Book Hell Week yesterday. I was really wiped out from it this morning. I could hardly get out of bed. And I really have a lot of energy, but something hit me. It finally hit me. I'm realizing, you know, there's only so much I can do. I try to believe I can do any amount of things I can. I mean, I really, with all the shows and the interviews, and I love it. It means I'm alive. I mean, other than this, I'd just be getting, what, going to lunch, having a drink, playing golf. God bless you if that's what you do. I just want to keep working as long as I can. And I'm inspired to try and make a difference. It's that simple. And frankly, with your help, I am making a difference. My ratings came in on all the stations. They're very high. The book is doing well. What more can I ask for right now? Well, how about a nation that I love that came back to me? How about waking up one morning and finding out the entire lot of criminals in Washington were somehow arrested by some magic and they're being let out in handcuffs? How about I wake up one morning and I see that Obama's finally been impeached for what he has done to this country? Yeah, right. Keep dreaming, Mike. Middle of the night, 4 a.m., they pass a budget. They give this guy $80 billion to spread out amongst the senators and congressmen and their wives and husbands. That's all he did with it. What do you think the $80 billion is for? Tell me what it's for. To keep building solar plants in the middle of the desert that produce less than a kilowatt. 855-400-7282. Let's take some calls. Joe on WABC, go ahead. What's on your mind, Joe?
Yes, I want to talk about your New Yorker article and Lionel Trains, because I remember a couple of years ago you bought yourself a train set. And Joshua Lionel Cowan, I happen to be of probably the number one collector of Lionel Trains in this country. I have the oldest trains. Well, you share company with him because in 1947 there was an article about Joshua Lionel Cowan and his train company, which, by the way, he changed his name to Cohen, C-O-W-E-N, from Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, because he was a Jewish man, and at that time in business, it wasn't a good thing to be
That's
Jewish.
Right. You had to hide your Jewish identity in those days because of racism. No one knows that. But what, the Lionel train guy's name was Cohen, not Lionel?
Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, and around 1910, and I wrote...
I heard the story, but what was your point? Lionel was written up in the New Yorker, is that what you're saying?
There was a profile. You are in revered company.
I know I am. I mean, some of the great jazz artists were a profile in the New Yorker. Incidentally, they were very heavily attacked for writing such a complimentary story about me. They did so because that's what they wanted to write, Party of One. And, you know, one of the reasons I played it, even though it was published in 2009, is because it was just when Obama had been elected and he was just about to be inaugurated that January. That's why that article was published. And many people don't know that I've been on the forefront of being an independent for a very, very long time. At that time, most of the people who declared to be anti-Republican, hey, blah, 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 against Boehner, blah, 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 against him, they were going in the White House. They're marching in there eating dinner with George Bush. Then all of a sudden, they heard how popular I was. All of a sudden, they became independents. Hey, did you buy Government Zero yet?
No, not yet, Dr. Savage.
So what is all these people love me? They don't buy the book. You're waiting for a freebie, huh?
Well, if you're Lionel...
Well, you're a train collector, so it means you're... If you're a train guy, it means you're a little bit on the cheap side. I don't know. There's something about it. I'm joking. Come on, trains are beautiful. I don't have a train set. When I was a kid, I had an electric train set. I almost set myself on fire. I took the track and stuck it into the socket in the wall. I almost got electrocuted.
Train set.
No, do they still make train sets that run on electricity, or is it considered too dangerous for the child?
No, they still do, Dr. Savage.
Because I remember I had an American Flyer train set that puffed smoke. I used to drop a little pellet into the chimney of the train and run it around the little living room in the Bronx, and it would go, whoo, 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 and smoke would come out. Probably toxic. Probably induced cancer in a newt somewhere down the street. I don't know. But the thing is, I enjoyed the train set. You're getting a free copy of Government Zero. Don't worry about it. It was worth the call that you invested just now. Cost you a few cents, but you got a book out of it. What more could you ask for? Look, before this hour goes by, I think what we should do, for the sake of continuity and for your entertainment, I mean, let's face it, talk radio has a number of different facets or aspects to it, but the primary aspect has to be, it has to be somewhat entertaining, or else what are you going to listen for, right? So since you're listening to have a lift, to feel good, let's go back for a minute and listen to a little bit more of that great New Yorker profile of yours truly, Michael Savage, right now on the Savage Nation.
Duh. I'm going to play for you a piece of the interview on the podcast of the author of the article, Party of One, Profiler Michael Savage. Profiler Michael Savage by Mr. Senna, right now from the New Yorker on the Savage Nation. Fire
Michael
away.
Savage is one of the most popular conservative talk radio hosts in the country. His show, The Savage Nation, reaches more than 8 million listeners each week.
We so-called conservatives are actually the liberals of America. And the so-called liberals are the actual fascists of America.
Savage's disdain for the left is savage. One of his many books is called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. But listeners to his show get a lot more than politics, as Kalafasana tells us in his profile this week. Welcome back, Kay.
Thanks.
So the election of Barack Obama has put conservatives back in the opposition, and that has re-energized talk radio. Is that what got you interested in doing this piece? And why did you pick Michael Savage of all the conservative talk show hosts?
That's part of what got me interested in doing this piece. I'd heard him over the years and found myself listening to him a bunch last year during the election. And he was interesting partly because he seemed to be so off-message.
Oh, I know what you're expecting, but you're not going to get it from me. You'll have to go to one of the other talk show hosts to get Obama's a Marxist and McCain is a war hero. If that's what you want from now until November, you're in the wrong dial position.
Savage, despite being identified as a conservative talk show host, he was an herbalist, and he wrote a whole string of books about natural healing, but he got disillusioned by a couple of things. One of them was AIDS and his disillusionment with the gay rights world. Another was that he says that affirmative action stymied his academic career, and he couldn't get a tenure-track job because he was a white male.
The conservatives of today, like me, those who believe in individual...
Fine. Turn it off. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. The engineer, unfortunately, has a computer that doesn't work right, so he's replaying stuff that you heard in the last hour, and there's no point replaying what you already heard. So let's go to the callers who want to call about news of the day. They don't want to go back to 2009. They want to talk about the topic that they won't let go of, which is the issue of, if you're a young man, why you won't get married, and many people are still calling on that. Larry on WABC, on that issue of why young men won't get married, go ahead, please.
A perfect example is going back in time to the movie of with Ernest Borgnine, Marty, which is an Academy Award movie.
Oh, where Marty, the kind of a schleppy guy.
Guy, no one likes me, I'm ugly, mama's boy, and he meets a girl who's kind of plain, and Frank Sutton's in it. He was, the actor, Comer Pyle.
Okay, what you're saying is about an ordinary guy, lives with his mother, can't really date anyone, then he meets an ordinary girl and they get married. What is your main point? Is that guys are looking for a movie star?
Yeah, I mean, the girl was a plain girl, but they kind of fell in love, and that was our...
There are no plain girls anymore. There are no plain girls. The girls are forced to try and be superwoman, too. You know the pressure on them? With the breast implants, the butt implants, the facelifts. Look at the pressure that are being put on women. You can't just blame the guys.
They have dogs and cats, and they're happy with that.
Well, today there's no happiness at all. Everybody's trying to be something that they're not. It's that simple. All right, my friend, thanks for calling. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Now, let me go to the headlines that made it to MichaelSavage.com. I know you know the story. In the middle of the night, as you slept, these gangsters passed a budget giving Barack Obama enough money to buy off every crony in the history of crony capitalism. In the middle of the night, these louts called Republicans, mainly under Mitch McConnell, passed a spending hike that would bust any budget wide open. I think it was $80 billion. Wait, here it is. 144-page bill amounts to $558 million in new spending per page. That's what your so-called fiscal conservatives did to you last night. Budget buster. Senate passes debt and spending hike in the dead of the night. Are you listening to me? Spending some $80 billion over the next 2 years, giving Obama enough money to buy off every illegal voter in the history of the country. $40 billion in new domestic spending in 2016 and 17. This is what your government did in the middle of the night. This is something that would not even be permitted in Uruguay. Used to hear about banana republics doing budgets in the middle of the night. Well, we're lower than banana republics. Under Barack Obama, we have sunk lower than third world nations in terms of corruption. And I stand by that statement. I want you to research the Green Racket. If you got nothing to do over the weekend, just do a quick Google search on the green energy racket and see the name of the companies, see which companies come up, see the names of those who've gotten billions of dollars in federal loans and guarantees and never paid them back and continue to feast on the public trough, and then trace their names to senators and congressmen by the same name. And then you'll understand why I say that this is clearly the most corrupt administration in history. But then you say, Mike, what can we do about it? Mike, we love you. Mike, we know you're right. Mike Government Zero says it all. We understand that. We've been listening to you. What can we do about it? Well, you can say it's too late. You can throw your hands up. I don't think you need to throw your hands up. I think there's an awakening that has begun. And I believe the 40 solutions, which I called 40 actions to save America in Government Zero, are the beginning of this awakening. Don't give up. One, start a nationalist party. Two, close the borders completely for 7 years. Three, deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Four, end the amendment which gives the anchor babies law, meaning there is no anchor babies law, but it's an amendment to the Constitution that was never written to permit non-citizens to become citizens. That's not what it was written for. Five, make English the official language of the United States. Six, require government-issued ID to vote. You say that's a no-brainer. It doesn't guarantee the voter is a citizen. We know that. But at least it confirms that he or she is alive. Dead voters overwhelmingly vote progressive. Seven, reintroduce civics classes to elementary and secondary schools. Eight, restore to active duty all military officers purged by Barack Obama. Offer them a generous bonus as an incentive to return. Nine, restore physical standards in the military. 10, 11, 12, 12, repair our relations with Russia. Russia should be an ally in the war against radical Islam and a partner in the world economy. The United States should propose an agreement that has Russia cease any aggression outside its borders in return for assurance that the U.S. and Europe will stay out of the affairs of nations bordering Russia. 13, sign a mutual defense treaty with Israel. 14, end all foreign aid, including to Israel. 15, recognize radical Islam as the enemy. 16, allow profiling and security investigations. 17, demand Congress declare war against ISIS and destroy them. 18, close all tax loopholes for Hollywood. 19, fund all climate science research to include the skeptics. Balance the funding, and we'll see a sudden uptick in skepticism about the real effects of man's activities on climate. 20, withdraw from the TPP. 21, withdraw from NAFTA. 22, narrow the Federal Reserve's mandate to a strong dollar and stable prices. 23, Mark Zuckerberg, end the H-1B visa program. 24, institute a flat tax. 25, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. 26, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. 28, here's a beauty for me, institute tort reform. Frivolous lawsuits and disproportionate awards drive up medical expenses. States should cap medical liability at $250,000 per claim. This is one thing my home state of California did right, and it worked. Eliminate government employee pensions and more. All in, government zero. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Government Zero is this week's featured conservative book club editor's pick. Did you know that? Government Zero was also the featured article in Monday's editor's pick newsletter for the conservative book club. And the 1026 newsletter went out to over 158,000 conservative book club opt-in list members. So the book is getting an awful lot of play. And I want to thank many of you for all of you who've gone out and supported the show and the message. But I want to go back to the main issue. I think it's a good issue. I think it's an important issue. And it's a simple one that I raised yesterday. One particular race on the planet is not reproducing sufficient numbers of their own to survive much longer. If you look at replacement rates, I think the number is you need, I think it was three children per family, or is it? You need three children per family to reproduce your race. I know you can't mention this, but I guess I will because I have no other way to put it. So if you have 2.1 children, which is the average in some countries where Europeans reside, in Sweden it's 1.1 per couple. In Italy, I think it's less than zero. Apparently, Italian men like themselves so much, they don't want to give themselves away to women. I think their rate is about 0.1 children per couple. So few people in Italy are getting married, it's hardly noticeable. And this is a reality. Now, and this is an important issue for a couple of reasons. It's because of this demographic time bomb, and it's an inverted demographic time bomb amongst white people. It's because of this demographic time bomb that those who are running the country are bringing in tens of millions of illegal aliens who have very large families because they need to keep the factories running. They need to have the sheets changed in the hotels, etc. You can fill in the blank, can't you? So it's a good question. Why are you not getting married? What are you afraid of? I asked a loaded question. Young men, why are you afraid to get married? And it goes back to yesterday's show. Did you hear yesterday's program where I said I've gone through some very dark phases in my life? And were it not for my family, I probably wouldn't have been able to go through those phases. But I was very lucky to have a strong family to fall back upon. And as I said to someone in my family, was it not for your mother, you wouldn't be here. Which is quite a remarkable idea for most young men who don't understand that. Young men who say, I don't want to get married. I don't need to get married. I have loads of girlfriends. What do I need it for? And I look at them and I say, well, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. It's quite a revelation, isn't it? You do realize that unless you get married and have a family, A, your family line dies. That's number one. That used to be a thing. People would say, I don't want my family line to die out. It was something that every young man carried around in his heart and his mind since he was a product of, what, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, millions of years of evolution? Hundreds of thousands of years of a family line. And now what, you're going to let your family line die out because of what, internet pornography? That you can go into a bar and meet someone and just have sex? And what do you need a woman for? Is that what you're thinking? And because it's connected to zero culture in government zero. Why are you afraid to get married? Why are you afraid to have children? What's stopping you? What did it to you? What happened to your brain? You know, this is a break not only with history, not only with human history, but it's a break with everything reasonable. It's a form of cultural suicide for an entire generation of young white males to not get married and have children. It's a form of cultural and personal suicide ending your family line. At the same time you're doing this, the evilest people in the history of the world are flooding America with immigrants who have no problem with having 6, 10, 18, 12 children, whatever. As many as they can get away with dumping on our shores to take care of, that you take care of, by the way. How is this happening? How is this happening that the West has young men, whether it's in Norway, Denmark, Holland, Sweden, Germany, France, Italy, the United States of America, Australia? What happened to the white race? Dare I say it's racial? Because the white race has the lowest percentage of children of any race on earth. Replacement children. Now, why am I talking about it? Why shouldn't I talk about it? Is it illegal? Is it on some banned list that I can't raise this issue? I want to know what happened to young white men. Why have they stopped getting married? What are they afraid of? And then what about pornography? Pornography is a neurotoxin. Who's pushing the pornography down your throat? Who created the pornography revolution in America? Is it liberation to have pornography available in every home, on every computer, on every iPhone? Or is it a form of imprisonment? And what does your government have to do with the pornographing of America, where it's everywhere? This filth is in everyone's home. Children have pornography on their iPhones. Who is letting this happen? Who is behind this dark secret? Who is behind this hidden side of pornography? Who is doing this? So is it internet pornography? What is it about? Why is the white male the one with the least number of replacement children of all races? Why? What's going on? How is it happening? There are races that have no problem with getting married and having many children. Obama's bringing them as fast as he can. That's just a fact. And the greatest defense of truth, by the way, the greatest defense against any kind of slander against me is the truth. If what I've said is not true, I wouldn't say it. And by the way, so why are you not getting married? What's the matter with you guys? What's the matter with you guys? What are you afraid of? Young men, why are you afraid to get married? Why are you afraid to have children? Now, I got to tell you something. Everyone knows this. Raising a child is perhaps the hardest job you could ever do. Everyone knows that. And you have to understand what family really is. You don't really know what your family is until you don't have them. That's something that people who have a family understand. And those young guys out there who are listening to me, who think that it's too tough to marry a woman and to have children and it's better to just have fun and sow your seeds and this and that, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The only thing to remember is this, young man. Listen to me, because I've said it to guys and I see their eyes light up. You know what I say to them? I say to him, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. And suddenly a bell goes off in their head. See, most guys don't understand that. I say to them, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. You say, what's the revelation? Well, it's quite a revelation, the guys who were given to hedonism. And they have to understand that as they get older, what are they going to have to show for what they've done with their wild oats? Nothing. Nothing. Them in an apartment? That's it? More parties? Your hair is falling out, you get the hair plugs, and you're still running after girls. That's an exciting life for you? No children, no son, no daughter, nothing, no continuum in life? I'm not saying if you don't have children, you're not a person. Don't get me wrong. There are many fine people who choose not to have children. That's not my point. The predominant majority of people should have families in this country. The good people, the smart people, the good genes. And, you know, I've said this over and over again to gay people over the years, and the smart ones get it. I said one of the reasons America is suffering right now is because some of the smartest, most talented people in the country are not having children. They're politically active, but they're not having children. And so they get the message. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're suffering. It's the hedonism. It's the drug, sex, and rock and roll. Could you imagine if I'm still on the radio in 10 years? Or worse yet to the liberal, what if I'm not just on the radio? I did the Newsmax TV, and everyone says, my God, are you photogenic, blah, blah, blah. What do you do? I don't want to do TV. But my message is so important, I'll probably keep writing. I don't know what's going to happen, truthfully. You know, the world is in such a state of crisis right now. Nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. And I was thinking about my own life, looking back, and the life of a nation, how much of it is based on chance. How many seminal things have happened to me in my life as a result of chance, not planning, right? The best laid plans of mice and men and all that. You plan, you make a path for yourself, you go down a certain road, and usually things that really change the course of your life, tell me if I'm wrong, have occurred by chance. Well, let's say equally. An equal number of things come to your life by chance that change the course of your life, right? But I don't want to go down that road right now. And I didn't mean to get too preachy. I didn't want to go into the sexual area. I just wanted to stick to the high road of what family means. It's that simple. And I guess it goes back to my digression a little earlier of how has chance affected your life? And can chance affect America's future history? Can chance intervene right now? Look at what happened to us when so many good people thought that Barack Obama was an honest, caring, America-loving man. Look how you were hoodwinked. Many of you voted for him because you said anyone but Bush. You wanted nothing to do with war. That's a good sentiment. Nobody wants war. Only a fool wants war. But the fact is, he lied to you. He lied to you. He's a Machiavellian, self-interested individual, period, surrounded by the worst people America's ever had inflicted upon it. So look what chance did to this country. You took a chance on Barack Obama. You know you were lied to. What, now you want to take a chance on Hillary Clinton when you already know who she is? Many of you don't like Hillary Clinton. I've met liberals who say, you know, I really don't like her. I actually hate her, but I'll never vote for a Republican. Well, that really makes sense. That really makes sense. That makes as much sense as my relatives whose grandfather landed in New York City like my grandfather did and never changed their politics from when the time they were socialists off the boat from Russia. They can't evolve. They can't grow. What's the matter? Someone's going to say, oh, you voted for a Republican? What's going to happen? You're going to be ostracized from the Mahjong game? You'll be thrown out of B'nai B'rith? I mean, what's going to happen if you vote a Republican? It's called a secret ballot. I don't understand how people get stuck in the past like this. I don't understand it. They take a look around and they see the devastation that has been wrought by this administration. All right, I made my point. Things happen by chance, and let's talk about the nation. No matter what they plan for us, there's always a chance that it won't work out for Obama. It won't work out for the New World Order psychos. There's always something coming out of the side mirror that you don't expect. Did Obama actually expect Putin to start bombing ISIS? No. The sorority told him that they had Putin boxed. They were destroying the ruble, running his economy off the ground. That'll teach him for meddling in Ukraine. We'll do what we want. We got him beat. Don't worry, Mr. Obama. We got him. We got him. We got him. And all of a sudden, he's starting to bomb in Syria. What happens? All the pink ties come out of Washington and start to mumble and do the mumbo jumbo. And Putin does the right thing. He starts to destroy ISIS. So what does Barry do? He launches a Green Beret raid, not to rescue Americans, by the way, because so far as I know, there are no American hostages. Who does he try to rescue? No Christians, by the way. Who did Obama waste a Green Beret on? Whose life was lost? To rescue some Iraqi soldiers. That's who. Now, you think about that one. Think about that one, that little very, very public display of his commander-in-chiefing last week. So a very brave American Green Beret dies. But did you see the helmet cam of that one? Wow. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The topic is a pretty good one, which is young men, why are you afraid to get married? What's the answer? Now, there is an article on my website, michaelsavage.com. It's a news article, and the headline says, Strategic Engineered Migration as a Weapon of War. Strategic Engineered Migration as a Weapon of War. Now, you pretty much know what I'm talking about. It comes from the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, out of the John F. Kennedy School of Government, which is a liberal government, a liberal organization. Even they recognize that the refugees, so-called, that are invading Europe are a weapon of war. A new and different armament using refugees as weapons has entered the world's arsenals. Many of you are absolutely ignorant to what this actually means. Europe is being overrun by Muslims, mainly young men of military age. And the weakling, coward liberals running Europe are bending over backwards to accommodate them. It's gotten so bad that in Sweden, a lesbian priest, which is a joke to begin with, a lesbian priest has ordered that the cross and all crosses be removed from the church and that the pews be removed so that the church can be turned into a mosque for the Muslims who have been brought into her town. If this is not cultural suicide, I'd like to know what is. And so I'm not saying that you can do anything about it. All I'm going to say is you can do something about it in your own life. This is not a call to revolution. I'm not asking you to march on Washington with a pitchfork in your hand. That's not going to change a darn thing. The only thing you can change is your own life. That's all I'm saying to you. There's another thing you have to know about all of this. Many, many years ago, when I consulted with religious people, I asked them how their arranged marriages work out. I asked them many times, how could you marry someone that you don't even love? And wise, older men said, well, you learn to love the person you're living with. See, it's the reversal of the United States of America. Guys want to walk into a bar and meet someone they think is meant for them for life. Well, how does that normally work out? So you can do it the other way, which is have someone picked for you in an arranged marriage, for example, if you're in a very religious community, and you learn to love each other by living with each other, by learning to respect each other. That's what he said to me. But I want to get back to talk radio, because this is just talk radio. We have no power, no influence. In the middle of the night last night at 3 in the morning, that sour, horrible-looking man with the gullet hanging down from his neck, the number one leading Democrat in Congress, Mitch McConnell, stabbed America in the back and ran a budget deal by everyone at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is something that is done in, used to be done in banana republics. They wouldn't even try it in Ecuador today. What's going on in the United States under this most corrupt president in American history, he has so corrupted everybody that even the Republican Party has become more corrupted than it already was. He has done something to this country that you can't even touch. The man is a living virus. 4 o'clock in the morning, they pass a budget. And they give this shyster an $80 billion budget so he can spend it around on illegal voters. Pay off fakers in San Francisco with fake solar plants in the middle of the Nevada desert. Look into those grants and contracts. See who got billions of dollars in money from your pocket. And see who's connected to senators and congressmen with fake solar plants. But that's a little side note. We can't change the corruption. It's so endemic right now that it's hard to know how to stop it short of a pure revolution, which is something I am not calling for. We've tried the ballot box. Did it work? Did the ballot box work when we voted? No, it got worse. So what's next? Tell me what's next. We have one election left.